This is our luxurious studio for Star Logistics. This is In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. Final thoughts on a heck of a football game. Cincinnati 27, Minnesota 24 in overtime. The teams played hard. That's my first takeaway. Mike Zimmer's teams always play hard. You have no choice but to play hard if you're competing against a Mike Zimmer football team. The turf temperature was 90 degrees or more. Some players played 85, 88 plays. That's a lot of snaps, particularly if you're a defensive back or a wide receiver and you threw the football almost 50 times like the Minnesota Vikings did, and you're running down the field on these go patterns and you're covering these go patterns, and man, that can wear you out. That can tire you out. Had a lot of players leave it all on the football field. There is no question about it. So that's my first take, is how both teams gave maximum ultimate effort in this football game. My second take, mistakes. The Bengals made very few. The Minnesota Vikings made a bunch, and I think it lost them the football game. Penalties, my gosh. I mean, the penalties were ridiculous. In the early going, they had four penalties in the first 5 minutes of the football game. False starts. I mean, the crowd noise was a factor. All the 56,000 that attended that football game, you take a bow. You know, you were a big factor in a close football game that was won by the Cincinnati Bengals at your field, at your stadium, because of your being in full throat vocally. I mean, that was big. But the Vikings, 13 penalties for well over 100 yards. I mean, Bill Parcells has a formula. If you give up 100 yards in penalties, take a touchdown away. 100 yards going the length of the football field that you give back, you got to score another touchdown on top of the scores that you have on the board to win the football game. So the Minnesota Vikings made mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think one of the big things in the penalty production for the Minnesota Vikings was the dominance of the Bengals defensive line. The Bengals defensive line got in the heads of the Minnesota Vikings. The interior linemen, DJ Reader, forced three holding penalties. On the perimeter, Hendrickson forced two holding penalties with that upfield pressure. They had six holding penalties in that were accepted of the 13 penalties that were accepted. There were additional penalties that weren't accepted. I think they had 16 flags thrown and 13 were accepted by the Cincinnati Bengals. On the flip side, the Bengals only had three penalties for 15 yards in losses. So that disparity, in my mind, was the difference in the football game, because the Cincinnati Bengals won the football game at the conclusion in overtime because Pratt, the linebacker, stripped the ball out, forced a fumble, and recovered it. That was the only turnover in the game. The Bengals went plus one in the football game. The Cincinnati Bengals now, under Zach Taylor, when they finished plus in the turnover department, 5 wins, 2 losses, and a tie. More than 2 victories for each defeat. When they lose the turnover battle, 0-16. So how important was that fumble? Mega. I mean, Minnesota was driving. They were getting close to field goal range themselves to put points on the board to win the game. That was massive. I do think, though, that it was negated by this. The Minnesota Vikings were 2 for 2 on fourth down. The Cincinnati Bengals were 2 for 3 on fourth down. Joe Burrow was successful on a quarterback sneak. 4th and 1, as we know, at their own 30-yard line, Zach Taylor tried to go for it. Joe Mixon gets stuffed for no gain. So that was an aggressive play that didn't work out. And then 4th and 4 from the 24-yard line. 4th and 4, if the Bengals make a play, they don't give any points up. But that fourth down play, Thielen gets a 24-yard touchdown reception from Kirk Cousins. 4th and 4 from the 24, touchdown. All within 5 plays. Bengals get stuffed. 4 plays later, Minnesota scores a touchdown. Momentum of the game starts to shift. The Bengals' 21-7 lead goes to 21-14. So in my opinion, that evened up the turnover battle. Because if you don't end a possession with a kick, be it a punt, an extra point, or a field goal, that's a turnover. That's a giveaway. The Bengals did that on fourth down. Fourth down stops, in my mind, are equivalent to turnovers. With that said, the Bengals overcame that. based on that takeaway they had in the fourth quarter, in the overtime period of that football game. So mistakes were a big, big factor in the football game. The Bengals minimized their mistakes. The Minnesota Vikings magnified their mistakes. They put themselves on their schedule. It's hard enough to beat an opponent on the road in the National Football League without putting yourself on your schedule. And if you self-destruct as many times as they did, you get 10 toes, right? 13 penalties. They shot themselves in the foot so many times, they shot every toe off both feet, and they had to shoot three fingers off their hand. They were done shooting themselves in the foot. They had to shoot themselves in the hand. It was crazy the way they gave that football game away. The other thing, knock on wood, no serious injuries. You know, T. Higgins cramped up. He had some issues. Joe Burrow twisted an ankle. But the word is that he's not going to miss any practice time this week and he'll be ready to roll. So nothing significant. And when you go around the National Football League and see all these devastating injuries that Baltimore and other franchises are having, and it's always a hit at one position. With Baltimore, it's the running backs. You know, it's the Bengals avoided injury of any consequence, significance in their home opener. That's big. You know, that's a plus as well. So that's three takeaways. You know, other things that come to mind, the game Joe Mixon had. Joe Mixon rushed for over 120 yards. He leads the National Football League in rushing. He had 33 touches of the football, 29 rushes, and he had four receptions, over 150 yards of scrimmage yards. That puts him in the top five in the National Football League as well. Joe Mixon was a force. He was a factor all day long for the Cincinnati Bengals, particularly in the second half of that football game. Rushed for almost 90 yards in the second half alone. And watch out for the triplets. Remember when the Dallas Cowboys were so good? Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, the triplets. Well, how about the J triplets? What do you think? What do you think? Chase, Mixon, Burrow, the three J's. Pretty good. Joe Burrow threw for over 260 yards, 20 for 27, two touchdown passes. Chase, five catches, 101 yards, including a 50-yard touchdown reception from Joe Burrow. And then we already talked about Joe Mixon's numbers. You have a 100-yard receiver, 100-yard rusher, and a quarterback that put up a significant quarterback rating. That's all good. Again, in my mind, the triplets offensively with a storyline, defensively, that defensive line, putting on the pressure. Ogunjobi was fierce inside. DJ Reader did a heck of a job. How about BJ Hill? The Billy Price trade officially worked out for the Cincinnati Bengals. BJ Hill had two sacks. He had two of the three sacks on the day in the trade from the New York Giants for Billy Price. Not a bad return on that trade very early in the season. But that defensive line, Ogunjobi was inverting the line of scrimmage with the penetration. It starts right there. I thought they played outstanding football. I think the linebackers played pretty good football. But the defensive line, all those penalties, holding penalties, plus the tackles, each tackle got called for lining up too far off the line of scrimmage. When you do that, it's not a legal formation. You have to have seven guys at the line of scrimmage. If you only have three of your five offensive linemen at the line of scrimmage, that's a penalty. And it was called twice, once on each offensive tackle. Why were they doing that? Because Hubbard, Henderson are coming. How do you stop them? You want to try to widen the edge. So you try to cheat. You try to set off the ball a little bit as far as you can to make it a wider corner for them. No can do. You're not allowed to line up like a slot receiver off the line of scrimmage. You can't do that. And they get called for it, each one of them. So the defensive line, in my opinion, made life miserable for the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. They got in their heads. They dominated things up front for the most part. Very encouraging. The Cincinnati Bengals had an all-time franchise low of 17 sacks last year. Just barely over one a game. They had three sacks in this opener. A sign of good things to come. Now they travel to Chicago. Another NFC North opponent who got spanked by the LA Rams. Home opener for the Chicago Bears. They got spanked on the road by the Rams. Going to have to play even at a higher level than they did against the Vikings. The problem the Vikings had with the crowd noise, with the false starts early in the game, that's what the Bengals are facing when they go up to Chicago. Remember, last year, teams didn't play in front of crowds. I mean, silent snap count didn't even have to be used. It wasn't a factor. It wasn't any kind of a consideration. May have to use a silent snap count up there in Chicago. It's going to be a different dynamic on the road against the Bears than it was here at home against the Minnesota Vikings. See if the Cincinnati Bengals are up to the task. The Chicago Bears defense is a much better unit than the Bears are offensively, in my opinion. So will the Bengals defense be able to shut down Andy Dalton in that Chicago Bear offense, or will the Bengals offense step up and put up a lot of points on the board against that Chicago Bears defense? The Bears have the second leading rusher in the National Football League, Montgomery, Mount Healthy Proud, Iowa State college football player, second leading rusher in the National Football League to Joe Mixon. Who's going to be able to run the ball better? Who's going to be able to make life easier for their quarterback? So many questions. We'll be finding out answers on Sunday.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.